Okay, our scriptures come to us today out of the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And you're going to find today's message a tad bit repetitious because I'm going to go through the whole shooting match. And here's our scripture. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Please pray with me. Father God, bless the words spoken here today. May they be clear. May they represent and glorify you for our sake and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Again, this is going to be repetitious, so I hope you get a point. How about that? So, the Christian faith, the gospel truth, comes to this. All God's blessings, the benefits of the gospels in the life of a believer become ours because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. God makes it possible. God does for us what no judge on earth can do. When God forgives, which is a judgment, he never makes a mistake. Being justified through faith in his eyes isn't about my guilt, isn't about my moral compass or how wonderful my disposition is or my ability to manage the flaws in my character. It's that God, through the death and resurrection of his son, made me whole, made me complete. He sees me as sinless. He finds me righteous. And he declares it in the person of his son. It's not about who I am or what I've accomplished in this life. That's all the stuff the world wants to know, you know, so you might receive the proper accolades while living in this life. But without faith in Jesus Christ, how brazen and bold you would have to be to walk into God's courtroom and say, God, look who I am and what I've accomplished. All God would see is our unworthiness and all our sin and all we've done against the God who's made known to us in the scriptures. You know, it's said that time heals all wounds. God's not bound by time. What I did 20 years ago stands today as if I just committed it. We're slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin and its destructive power. The truth of the matter is we're in bondage. We suffer from a condition. In Exodus 6, God says to Moses, go tell the Israelite people, hey, go tell them that I'll bring you out from under your yoke and I'll free you from being slaves. I'll redeem you. I'll take you as my people. I'll be your God. And the Israelites didn't listen. Why? It's because of their discouragement, their cruel bondage. Doesn't it sound a little bit like us? They too suffered from a condition. You see, the Israelites were slaves for 400 years, and the truth is that slavery affects you. We pass sin slavery down from generation to generation. The truth is sin affects you. So many are blind to it. It affects you physically, psychologically, emotionally, educationally, economically. Sin leaves you broken in spirit, You become hardened. Your heart becomes calloused. You're not willing to accept promises. And you have no reason to trust. And regardless of all that, life goes on. We still have personal choices we have to make. And when it comes to making those choices, God created us with the free will. And here lays the problem. David tells about it in Psalm 51. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. We are sinners by nature. We are always out there searching for something. Here's a mindset of young adults today. They call it FOMO. The fear of missing out. This fear is led by obsession. And this is not a godly fear. You see, we're attracted to and possessed by the newest, greatest thing. We have to fit in and we have to be a part of. And things in this world today are moving so fast, it leaves us with a short attention span. We become a transient people. We go from place to place, from idea to idea, and from belief to belief. Soon we lack the strength to endure life and face life on life's terms and hang in there for the long haul. We've become weak. This weakness leaves us broken, wounded, disordered, and dysfunctional. And we have to face the fact as a nation that we have a need. We stand guilty in the sight of God. The question is, how long can we hide from our conscience and hide from our guilt? How long can we stuff it down and ignore it, only to have it resurface again and again? The truth is, our decisions determine our destiny. Adrian Rogers said, "There is a God to serve. There is a hell to shun. There is a heaven to gain. There is an eternity to live. There are the decisions of the living and the destiny of the dead, whether you're in this age or the age to come." I enjoy Romans 3 and how Paul writes, but now a righteousness. This righteousness comes from God through Jesus Christ to all who would believe. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice atonement through faith in his blood. Jesus did what no one else can do, what could ever do. God was just in sending Christ. God didn't lower standards to let us in. Jesus Christ stands in our place. He paid the penalty of death for our sin. He satisfied the wrath of God for all who would believe. His sacrifice brings pardon. It brings deliverance. It brings freedom. Jesus Christ gave me a white robe, and now I stand before God wearing it. The rags are gone because of the true faith. We're not who we once were, because I am that I am has come. We have been justified by faith, and now we turn, and now we go in the opposite direction, and we learn how to walk in that faith. Psalm 105 tells us, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Why? Because Jesus said in John 16, I told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And we come to verse 3. Rejoice in suffering. Why? Why do I want to rejoice in suffering? Because suffering, look at it, it brings pressures. You know, I received Christ, now I have the pressure to overcome my sin nature. And then once I begin on that road, I got the pressures of my family. And the resistance of loved ones who choose not to face themselves, face the undeniable facts about life and about death, who choose not to follow Christ. But here's the upside to the suffering. The sufferings that come from being a part of a Christian bring about good consequences. God works to the good, all things, good and bad things for those who love him. God's intention isn't to harm us, but to prosper us. Our greatest prosperity comes spiritually. What do I mean by spiritual prosperity? Well, let me ask you, what comes from suffering? Perseverance. Suffering's real, no doubt about it. Can't deny it. We can't pretend situations that we face are just going to go away. Suffering prompts us. It encourages us with a get up and get on instinct. This perseverance carries us through life's trials. With Christ in us, we're headed towards the goal that God has planned for us. It's just up ahead of us. This perseverance grows character. This character in Christ has a direction and it has a goal. With Christ, we have faith in the outcome. We know God has it all in his mighty hands. Suffering plus perseverance brings our true potential in life. It brings it to light. This is the life God created for and now prepares us for. Christian character isn't inherited, isn't taught. It comes through testing. It comes through walking through the valley, down the dark road. We'll face pain, hardship, and persecution. The things God knows shouldn't be in our lives are burned away and they're gone. What God knows is needed in our lives, it grows stronger and stronger with each trial. From character to hope. Hope is what keeps you going against all odds. Hope doesn't put us to shame. Hope doesn't disappoint. This hope isn't vain, and this hope doesn't come without a reward. Developing a godly character through faith, suffering, perseverance brings hope. And out of that hope, we look to God. We trust him. His plans for us are good plans. They're the best plans. We're not let down. We look to heaven and God pours his love and grace down on us. Oh, amazing love that my God should die for me. This is God's comfort for us, his redemptive power, his reassurance that no matter how bad this gets, no how hard the road becomes, our Heavenly Father, he is holding us. He takes a hold of those wretched, dreadful things and through them builds good things in our lives. With hope and trust in hand, we'll find only and always God's love. Verses 6 and 8, they're a recap. So if you take someone who lives on the street and he lives by the laws of the street and he has a street mentality and you give him a big old stack of money, all you're going to have is a poor man with a street mentality who has a big stack of money. That's who we are spiritually. Spiritually roaming the street and poor. And then we're given spiritual wealth. In fact, we become spiritually filthy rich. Man, how does this happen? Paul tells us, he explains this to us, tells us who we are. We were powerless, weak, incapable, in no position to save ourselves or even help ourselves. In spiritual poverty, bondage to the street with all its sin. We were ungodly. We had no real respect for God, let alone showed him any honor. In fact, we used his name in vain. We were sinners, that we missed the mark, even if we really tried to hit it. Missing the mark in how we think and how we talk and how we live. We were hell-bound, powerless, ungodly sinners. And one day we had a moment of clarity. All the chaos and the fear, the fear of where that chaos was leading us set in. And with a deep down understanding, hey, this God is real. And one day I'm going to have to face him. And I'm going to have to explain him all this mess that I've made. I know what I should do. I always try, but I still come up short. You see, rebellion is all I know. The unbeliever is helpless and hopeless and he's lost. And he's hell bound. But you see, God came to show us the way out. In Christ, we are not lost, we're found. God, through Jesus Christ on the cross, has done what we can't. And when it comes to salvation, think of this. We are not the main character. God is. It's not about you. Life isn't about you. It is about God. In verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. You see, God has an attitude. 1 John 4, whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. Amen. Yes, sir, he has an attitude. This love is not that we loved God. It is the fact that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And no matter what you've done, I want you to know that God's love is unconditional. If it wasn't, we'd all be doomed. In the midst of our chaos, God took action. He gave his son for those who just ain't no good. Those who showed him no respect. Gave him no sign of obedience, no acts of love towards him, and yet he loved us and he gave his son to bring us back. Amen. All of us matter. All of us matter. Listen, that we would be willing to live in sin and die without God, it really mattered to God. He could have wiped us out and started all over. Now instead he sent his son to suffer and die for us. Christ died for us. His death for our life. Our sins are gone. And now we stand in peace with God.
Amen.
Verses 9 through 11. Here's the conclusion. God finishes what he starts. For God so loved the world, he gave. 1, we were his enemy. We had nothing to do with him. We lived in rebellion and in disobedience towards him. We were separate from him. But God was never against us. We were against him. 2, the God we dishonored did everything that had to be done in order to rescue us. He gave his only begotten son. We are justified by his blood and reconciled to God through the death of his son. We didn't initiate our salvation. God did it. All to him we owe.
Amen.
3, justification and reconciliation. We learn of here in the Romans is in the past tense. It's already finished. It's already achieved. Paul says, we have now been justified. We were reconciled. These are accomplished facts. 4, our journey to glory isn't over yet. In this life, we've yet to become like Christ as much as we should be or as much as we ought to be. While we're in this body and on this earth, there's work to be done. Each test paves the way on the road towards Christian maturity, towards an unbreakable faith, an unending hope in a mighty God, a God in whom we must one day answer to. 5, we have a risen Savior who goes with us all the way. His Spirit lives in us, guiding and teaching us, empowering us. Romans 8, Christ died and was raised to life. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. We are not reconciled to God, pointed to heaven, and left to struggle our way down the eternity trail on our own. He's with us always. He helps us always, praying and ensuring us that we'll get there.
Amen.
Here is an Adrianism. It's my man Adrian Rogers, what they call him. He says, our problem isn't intellectual, it's our will. When a man surrenders his life, God will speak to him. Light obeyed increases light. Live up to the light you have, and God will give you more light. My beloved, let me leave you with this. We're saved through his life. We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've received reconciliation. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love poured out on each of us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word to teach us, to guide us, to correct us, and even when we're stubbornly wrong, to rebuke us. We receive Christ. We pray you'll strengthen us and fashion us after the image of Christ. Our hope is found in you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.